way that the Lord has led me. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Have nothing to go back to. Have no desires to go back. And in fact, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm doing my best to move forward in the grace of God and in God's service.
Amen.
Now, I want to get right on into the message this morning. Try to get done. We get back. If we was going to have one service today, why? We'd linger around and sing a little bit more, and I believe we'd sing a little bit more. While it may change the service around, but I feel like I want to preach, and I hope God will meet with us this morning as we do our best to bring the thought that He's laid on my heart from the Scriptures. We're in the Song of Solomon and chapter number 5. Solomon's Song and chapter number 5. All right? And when you find your place there, you can stand with us for the reading of the Word of God. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. I'll probably be a little slower in preaching this morning than what I normally am. Maybe a little bit more deliberate in my delivery than what I generally am. If I'm not, well, you can say I'm a liar again, I suppose. But I won't try to follow the Lord. In Solomon chapter number 5, and am I too loud out there? We're working with this new equipment. Am I all right out there? I'll make sure I'm okay. We've got new monitors up here, and we're going to put a new microphone. Oh, we're going to have another microphone for the choir and a monitor for the choir. And we're going to try to make the sound over the airways and in the auditorium as becometh the children of God. And so we want to pray about that too. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, and verse number 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, this is the bride speaking now. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. Let's pause to pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the privilege that we've had to be here today and for the good fellowship we've enjoyed already. Lord, not only with one another, but with Thee. Thank You, Lord, for the singing that's blessed my heart and stirred our souls. And thank You for the Word of God that we have before us. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God, in great power, and because of the sure mercies of Jesus, would manifest the Lord Jesus to us today in this place. Lord, help us to love You more this morning than we ever have. Help us to see You more clearly than we've ever seen You. Help us to worship You in a dearer way than ever before. I pray that You'll look upon the hearts of Your people and sinner both. Save such that are lost and bless Your people, Lord, and meet the needs that they have. And I pray that You'd help me this morning. God knows my heart and my need, and I'm just clay. And Lord, without You, I realize I'm nothing. And I pray that again that You'll anoint me with that fresh oil of the Spirit of God. Provide the liberty in church and the power from on high, from Thy throne of grace, that we might preach the Word and then do a great work in Your people. This is a great passage of Scripture, a great book in the Bible. I pray You'll use it to draw us nigh, knowing, Lord, that if we'll draw nigh to God, that God will draw nigh to us. Supply every need in the building and there by the radio as well. Help our sick ones that are out this morning. Give them grace. And we'll thank You for the work that You do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to read again out of verse number 4. That's where we'll find our text verse this morning. And Solomon, writing here under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, And he said, my beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. And notice the next statement, and my bowels were moved for him. Or that is, my most inner being, my heart, my spirit, my soul, my entire me was moved for him. Not for worldly pleasures, not for worldly possessions, but my bowels were moved for him. She says, he is my greatest delight. He is my greatest desire. And my bowels were moved for him. Her bowels wasn't necessarily moved for the promises that he had given her of eternal life. She wasn't necessarily stirred because of the life that he had provided for her in heaven. But she was moved because of him and him only. His grace and love and mercy had moved her heart. Now, if God, in this few minutes that we have, will help me this morning, I want to preach on the thought for just a minute of more grace. More grace. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, I'm about to pass out right now from it. It has weakened me in my groin just thinking about the grace of God. He giveth more grace. I'm thankful that the Lord does give more grace. He not only, church, bestows saving grace to sinners, but His children, thank God, His wonderful children, He continues to give them more grace. He does not just bless us with all of His grace in one experience. If you think when you got saved that you had experienced all of the grace of God, friend, you're quite naive. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And I'm not changing the Bible, but that word introduced simply means, or commended, simply means that God introduced His love. If Calvary was an introduction of God's grace, can you imagine the grace that yet awaits the believing child of God? Oh, no. We did not by no means experience all of God's grace when we were saved. But throughout our Christian life, throughout our pilgrimage, throughout our worldly sojourn, God just continues to give you and I more grace. Now I want to tell you something. When you think you've reached the bottom of the barrel and God's bestowed all the grace that He has on you and you're still at the bottom of the barrel, when you're so low, my friend, that you'd have to have a stepladder to tie your own shoelaces, I want to remind you that God's grace is yet able, and there's yet more grace to be bestowed upon that child of God. Brother, when we walk through the fires and walk through the valleys and walk through the troubles, and when we've been tempted on every hand, and when the world's closed in around us, and we feel like that we've been pressed upon and pressed out of measure by society and sin that is around us, I want to remind you this morning that God gives more grace to His children. Thank God for more grace. I'm about to get excited, friend. Amen. Just about the time you think the devil's got you whooped, God gives more grace. Boy, when you think the flesh has overwhelmed you, God gives more grace. Thank God He giveth grace to the humble, but He resisteth the proud. Therefore, we ought to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt us, hallelujah to His name, in due time. God giveth more grace. Amen. James said in chapter 4 and verse number 6, but He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. And that is exactly what I find in our text this morning. That God has given that little bride more grace. Hell, grace that she didn't deserve. He ought to have walked off and left her in the condition that she is in. But instead, He stuck that hand through the hole of the door and provided more grace for her in an hour of need. I'm glad, thank God, that God gives us more grace. Hey, the church, and I have to rehearse this, but the church and Christ here have been consumed with one another's love.
Amen.
Friend, I'll tell you, it behooves you to do the same.
Amen.
I mean, just get caught up in the love of God.
Amen.
Yeah, become consumed with the love of God.
Amen.
I tell you, we worry about this and wonder about something else and have our hearts upon something else when we ought to have our minds stayed upon the absolute pure love of Almighty God. I tell you why we're without peace in our heart this morning and why we're troubled on every hand is because our minds are not stayed upon the Lord. But if we'll stay our minds upon Him, God will give more grace and provide peace in our hearts no matter how the storms are raging. God will give us more peace. Praise God, I'm feeling pretty good. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, He'll give more grace. And they had been consumed with one another's love. Him loving her and her loving Him. That's the way it ought to be in the home too. I don't charge you nothing for that. But I'll tell you, if husband and wife will consume themselves with one another's love, soulless yourself in one another's love. Keep company with one another. If you would rather have company, my friend, with some old hair-legged man than you would your wife, sir, you've got a real problem this morning. Spend some time around the house. Spend some time in the home. Spend some time with your wife. Take her out to dinner some night. Walk through the field or the woods with her. But for crying out loud, spend some time with your wife. I'm going to tell you, she needs you, gentlemen. And we need the Lord. We're consumed with one another's love. They had delighted themselves in holy communion in the garden. Son, they had been hand in hand in the garden. Just enjoying one another's company and one another's fellowship. Christ had been there and He had eaten His pleasant fruits. She had invited Him in and He had already been in there eating His pleasant fruit. The Bible said that He had gathered His myrrh with His spice. He had eaten His honeycomb with His honey. And He had drunk His wine with His milk. But suddenly now, while they've been in this wonderful state of communion, Christ suddenly finds that little old bride of His asleep. She said, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." Can you imagine after such an experience as that, that she would drift off into a slumbering frame of mind and find herself upon the bed of slothfulness in the bed of complacency and wouldn't even arouse herself enough that she might open the door as the Lord knocked upon the door of her heart. But I'll tell you, that's exactly where she's at. Friend, they've been having a time in God. They've been in the church house. I might say they had been in the church shouting it out. Some they had run the pews and danced in the aisles and prayed at the altar and worshiped around the throne. The choir had been hooked up. Spatial music had been good. And the man of God had absolutely preached his heart out. And folks had been having a time, but suddenly, I sleep. And not only do I sleep, but I'm asleep, and don't you bother me. I don't have time to be troubled with you, she said. Well, I've already put off my coat, and I've washed my feet. How shall I put my coat on again? How shall I defile my feet? I'm already in the bed. Now look here, I want to listen. Hey, listen to me. Jesus, when He come to her, the Bible said, she said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Get it now. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. Are you listening? See, Christ had already spoke to her. Christ had already knocked on her door. The external knocking, and there was external knocking that had troubled her emotions. But she heard the voice, and it had stirred her just a little bit. But yet the knockings and the voice was not enough to get her off of her bed of slumber and unease. She said, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? And she refused to open the door at the knock or to open the door at the summons of Christ. And she remained on the bed of ease and luxury. Somebody said, thought you were going to preach on more grace. I am. Bible, hey, Jesus had already spoken and He had already knocked. And she remained on her bed. Friend, if I know anything about it, He didn't even have to knock. He didn't have to speak. It was grace that brought Him to the door of a sleeping church. Maybe it's been grace that's brought Him to the door of Island Ford Baptist Church. Maybe it's grace that's knocking this morning. Maybe it's grace that is speaking this morning. And may God help us, my friend, to answer to the call and the knock of God upon the church. Not only, He had already knocked. He had already spoken. He had called through the external ministry of the Word. That's the voice. The Word of God, the external ministry. And had not in a providential way. Thank God for providence. Woo! Somebody said, don't get off on that. Why not? But I like it. Amen. But He had spoken by the Word. He had knocked by providence and had given her comforting words and had persuaded her with those words. And yet, my friend, she remained on a bed of complacency. If I know anything about the Bible, He had already given her grace, and one time was enough. Should have been. Come on now, children. Look here. Preacher, right down the line Friday night, buddy. God give grace on Friday night. But God will give you more grace this morning if you'll listen to Him. He didn't have to pass by your way Friday night, neighbor, but He did. He didn't have to pass by your way Friday night, young lady, but He did. Amen. He's already spoken and already knocked. But I'm going to tell you this morning, by the grace of God, I believe He'll put His hand through the hole of the door and give you more grace that you might answer Him. Now that's more grace. He knocked and she laid on the bed. He spoke and she laid on the bed. That's grace. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad, thank God, that He gives more grace. The Bible said that the knocking didn't arouse her and the speaking didn't arouse her. But when He took that precious hand of grace and began to slip it through the hole in the door, the Bible said when she saw that hand, she said, my bowels were moved for Him. Are you listening to me, friend? That's called grace. When the external didn't work, God was able to give grace. And I'm glad, thank God, that it takes grace in the heart of a sinner and a saint alike before their soul will ever be moved for Almighty God. Are you listening? He giveth more grace. Now I got to hurry. We've been here all day. I ain't got started yet. Huh? Now look here. The Scripture said, my beloved put His hand by the hole of the door. I wonder what is meant by that hand. I believe it's a hand of grace. Amen. The voice didn't help. The speaking didn't help. The knocking didn't help. Oh, but grace. And some of y'all would faint if I said sovereign grace.
She didn't invite the grace in, brethren. She didn't ask for that grace. Oh, no, it was just a sovereign act and the grace of God that He took that merciful hand and entered the thing in the hole of the door that she might be moved in her bowels for Him. I want to tell you something, friend. If it wasn't for the grace of God, our hearts would never be moved for God. Son, we're adamant and cold and indifferent and away from God. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, our soul would never be moved for Him. Woo! Thank you for grace. That hand of grace. And look here. It said He put His hand. He put His hand in the hole of the door. Huh? What is that? What is that hand of grace? What does that hand represent? I believe it represents the greatness of His love.
Yes.
Love had already knocked and been refused, friend.
Amen.
But oh, how great is the love of God that He'll not only knock once, but He'll knock a second time. I'm glad He's a God of second chances. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad He didn't throw the clay away when He found that the vessel was marred in the potter's hand. But blessed be His name, my friend. He made a new vessel out of us. That pleases God Almighty. Aren't you glad when you were lost and on your way to hell and dead in sin that God didn't cast you into hell where we all belong? But my friend, He's a God of second chances, and God's grace came to where we were and gave us that second chance. Bless His wonderful name. He could have threw us into hell and been just in doing it. Solomon and, David and Bathsheba committed their sin of adultery. God gave them a little old boy. And judgment fell, and God said, "David, I'm gonna take the boy. I'm gonna take the boy." Judgment's fallen. And Bathsheba lay on the bed of suffering and sorrow, languishing over her firstborn that God had given her, knowing that God was gonna take that little boy, and did take it. But aren't you glad that after the death of that boy come a Solomon?
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God is a God that gives more grace. And where sin did abound, a grace that much more abound. Hallelujah. Elimelech, Naomi left Bethlehem, the house of bread and blessing. Went down to sojourn in Moab. And hey, God ought to left her down there. God ought to left her down there. God would have been just in letting her starve to death. I want to say to you, my friend, anybody that leaves a church where the Word of God is being preached and where the Spirit of God is working, you ought to starve, slept to death if you leave that for some old dead rawhide hole. And by the way, if I was in one of them dry hide places, I'd get out of it. If I was in a church where they didn't rear back and preach against sin, I'd get out of it. If I was in a church where they permitted sin to go on, I'd get out of it. I've never in my life seen what's going on in Baptist churches. Wild swapping, whoremongering, drunken, running around. Somebody said it's everywhere. It might be that bless God the preacher ought to have enough backbone to stand up and say something about it. He could have left Naomi down in Lodibar, down in Moab, God's wash pot. But look here, the Bible said, but she heard that they had bread again in Bethlehem. Wonder what it was that sent that word down there to her. I believe it was more grace, friend. Hallelujah to God. Amen. God said, hey! God said, Holy Ghost, I've already given old Naomi a little bit of grace and saved her out of the slime pit of sin. But look at her backsliding on me down in the land of God's wash pot. I want you to send word down there where she's starving to death that they bred up yonder in Bethlehem again. More grace. More grace. Huh? That hand in that hole. And that door represents the greatness of God's love.
Yeah,
I want to say it represents the faithfulness to her. How faithful God is to you and I.
Amen.
Oh, as you know, hey, amen. Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed.
Amen.
Because of His compassion fails not.
Amen.
They are new every morning. Amen. Great is Thy faithfulness.
Amen.
I'm gonna hear. Now look here, I'm fixing to shock some of you. I've got news for you, friend. We're such sorry lowlife that, hey, that there's a possibility, according to Paul and Timothy, of us denying the Lord. But if we deny Him, He remains faithful. He cannot deny us. Hallelujah to God. While she was on that bed and fast asleep, Jesus in His faithfulness came to where she was for the second time and give more grace. What a God we have, friend. Huh? If we deny Him, He's about as faithful. For He cannot deny Himself. Somebody said, well, how's He denying Himself? He's in there, isn't He?
Amen.
Woo! I'm going to tell you what that little hole was. It wasn't nothing on her part. It was all of His grace that was on the inside of her. Hallelujah to God. He was dead, my friend. But the grace of God had made a little hole. And only man. I think it represents His power.
Amen.
I'm going to say something, friend. We underestimate the power of grace.
Amen.
I said grace.
Amen.
Have you ever experienced it?
Amen.
The power. Oh, hey, look here. He said, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, sweetheart, it's me and my hair's full of the dew of the night and my locks are wet with the evening and I'm suffered for you. Would you open the door? The knock and the voice. And she said, I just said, now look here, now don't nobody get mad. But I can stand up here and preach that Bible to you, the Word of God, till I'm blue in the face. The Word was proclaimed to her. But the Word, without the anointing grace of the Spirit of God, will never produce efficacious redemption in the heart of no man or woman. Son, we forget the how she did. Hey, grace is so powerful, the Word didn't phase her, the knocking didn't. I'll just put it like this. The Word didn't phase her, the preaching didn't phase her. But when that hand of grace went through that hole in that door, how powerful grace is. Somebody, woo! Somebody said, preacher! Now, come on, don't get mad at me. Somebody said, preacher, could she have resisted it? I don't know, but I know she didn't. I wouldn't say she couldn't, but I said she didn't. And I wouldn't say I couldn't, but I didn't. And I wouldn't say some of you couldn't, but you didn't. Oh, no. Do you remember the preaching? And you said no. Do you remember the knocking? And you said no. But oh, there come that day in your life when you saw that hand. God give more grace. And that hand went through the hole in the door. And son, when you saw the hand, all your bowels were moved within you. And you arose and had myrrh dripping off your fingertips as you answered the call of the grace of God in your life. Hallelujah. Call me what you want. But I'm telling you, grace is a powerful, powerful tool of God, son. Amen. It'll give strength to those that are weak in their ankle bones. Woo! Grace will cleanse the leper from his spots. Hallelujah to God. Grace will dry up the blood issue of 12 years that's cost you all your substance. But grace can dry it up. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, I'm simply saying, son. Grace can save sinners. And grace can work in the saints. And grace, my friend, and more grace can be given from the hand of God. Hallelujah. I wish I could do that.
Help yourself. His hand represents the grace of God. Are you listening? But it said His hand, He put it through the hole in the door. What's that door? One commentator said it was a door of faith. John Gill said it was the door of her heart. But I believe it could have been both of them.
Amen.
But I'm talking about the door of her heart this morning, friend.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Now look here. I want to remind you that she was already saved. She was a bride.
Amen.
That is a type of you and me. And we've got the idea that because we're saved, the door is always swung open and Jesus can come in whenever He wants to. If that's the case, how come in the church of Laodicea, He said, "Behold, stand at the door and knock." Now look here. Her door was not all the way shut up, although the hinges were shut. It wasn't completely shut, Brother Mark, but it was straightened. All it had was one little old hole in it. But I'm glad that the light of His grace, I'm glad that the mercies of His power and love. All it needs is one little crack and one little crevice, just one little... Amen! Son, I'm telling you, light and the rays of light will shine through the smallest crack. And son, I'm telling you, the gospel of the grace of God and the... Amen! Will reach through the smallest crack in your sleeping heart. Now, her heart wasn't shut up, but it was straightened. Just cold. Indifferent, backslidden, lazy. I mean, her faith was in very weak exercise. She was laid back. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, friend. When that hand, she said, "I hear Him knocking, I'm just going to let Him knock." Wow. You ladies ain't never done that, have you? You ain't never stomped off in the bedroom mad. "I ain't letting me in." Come on, sweetheart. He was her husband.
Amen.
"Let me in. I ain't going to do it. You've done it. I'm done in the bed and I ain't getting up. Sleep upstairs. Go to the doghouse. Please, honey, I love you." I hear that from you all the time. That's the same old tale I've been hearing all these years. "You really love me? Honey, I love you. Let me in. I can't. I'm in my nightgown. You really expect me to get out of the bed? I'm in my nightgown. My house shoes is over there by the chair where I sit, and the floor's cold, and I just can't get up. Honey, please let me. Oh, I'm coming. That hand. Sweetheart, I'm headed for the door. My bowels have been moved for you. But now the Lovett had withdrawn Himself and was gone," the Bible says. Son, I'm telling you, He gives grace and He gives more grace. But after He gives more grace, I'm telling you what, the chastening hand and judgment of God will fall on you. Then the hole, just a little hole, the heart, the door represents the heart, and then the hole. But I'm glad, and I'm trying to hurry now. She got some help. She was a sleeping church that got some help because He gave more grace, and it aroused her. And she got up off of that bed to open the door. Now I'm saying, church, that God will give you and I more grace. She got help. She got help! There's the hand, the heart, the whole, but thank God she got some help.
Amen.
Has grace ever helped you once? If it has helped you once, it'll help you the second time.
Amen.
Listen to me. I've been knowing these business needs in the church, but I didn't know how great.
But I've learned in the last few days that there's big needs in the church.
Amen.
If He's given you grace, He'll give you grace again.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, church. We ought to learn a lesson that when there's problems in the family and the household, are you listening to me? If we had ever learned to ask the church in humility to pray for us.
Amen.
But our problem is we don't want nobody to know we've got a problem. Huh? But I'm here to tell you, friend, this coming week I'm looking for God to give more grace. And if He gives more grace, let us not lay on that bed. Hey, He'll help you. He's a present help in trouble. He'll help you. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. I'm telling you, God is our present help for you and I in our dilemma. In our storms, in our trials, God's a present help. I've got news for you. Even if you're backslidden, cold as a hound dog nose in January, and asleep on God like she was, God will give more grace and help you out of that too. Hallelujah. More grace. More grace. Now here's three little old points and we go into the house. Three points and we go into the house. No, it's 4 points. I'm sorry. Now listen to me carefully. I want to say that God gives more grace to sleeping sinners.
Amen.
You ever read the book of Acts in chapter number 16? Where the Bible said that a man by the name of Paul and his companion Silas had been preaching the Word of God in the city of Philippi, and they were thrown into the prison. There in the prison in the city of Philippi, they had been beaten with many stripes and had been put fast into the stocks down into the innermost prison. You know who it was that laid those stripes on them and guarded them? It was a fellow that all the Bible ever calls him as jailer. Just a jailer. Huh? But in that, look here. It doesn't say so. But I'm going to tell you what, when he sprang in, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when that jailer sprang in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He didn't learn about salvation, friend, out sitting in that prison guarding those prisoners. I'm going to tell you, I'm reading between the lines, but Paul and Silas, while that man was laying the stripes on their back, was a witness of telling him how wonderful it was to be beaten for the cause of Christ. I'm telling you, old brother Paul had already witnessed to that man. God had already offered him salvation. God had already shown him grace. And one time was enough. God could have cut him off and sent him to hell. Now I'm telling you, some of you in here, God's given you grace over and over again. And God would be just if He cut you off and sent you to hell. It'd be just if He cut you off and sent some of you to hell. Paul and Silas had already witnessed to that man. But look here at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sang praises to God. The Bible said there was a giant earthquake. And listen what it says about that. And the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep. There is an old sinner, son, sound asleep. But when the singing and the praying began, and when the earthquake began to reel and rock that old prison house around, son, I'm going to tell you, and after he had already been witnessed to, the Bible said that he sprung in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm glad, thank God, that God had witnessed and God had given grace. But son, God give more grace to us that he might be saved. Look here. You know what got him in, Brother Andy? Look here, and some of y'all sit there like a bunch of zombies. I'm going to tell you what you call what Paul and Silas were doing, praying and singing praises. They were just worshiping God. I'm going to tell you, if we'd ever learned to come to church and worship. Some of you mamas in here, amen. Some of us grandpas in here, our young'uns need to see us worship God one time, son. Yes, sir, Reba. It takes worship, and it takes witness, and it takes the wonder of the grace of God. Did God give more grace to that old sleeping sinner? I want you to listen carefully. And some of you ain't going to like this. But there was worship. And then there was a warrant served. The Bible said there was an earthquake. What in the world is going on? I'm going to tell you what went on. Hey, look here. That's called resurrection power. Now, if you're not careful and you read in the where the Lord Jesus was crucified, you will think that He was resurrected, that the earthquake was the day when He was crucified. If you'll read it right close, you'll find out that that great earthquake took place when He was resurrected. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about not only was they worship and the wonder of His grace, but some God dispatched the high seer from heaven. There was resurrection power! Sunday was power on display in that prison, enough power to resurrect that old jailer out of his lethargy, out of his deadness, out of his sin, and birth him into the family of God. And look here, you know what caused the earthquake? God signed a warrant. He said, now, Mr. Spirit, Holy Spirit, I want you to take this to Philippi. There's a jailer down there, and serve warrant on him. And son, I'm going to tell you what, when the high sheriff of heaven gets on your hind end, when he serves the warrant on you, I feel you know, I feel dirty and I ain't got no, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to tell you what's going on. The high sheriff then walked up to you and said, sir, ma'am, I serve orders on you from the high throne of God, and you, sir, are under arrest.
Amen. Amen.
I'm under arrest. Damn, that ain't all. Not only are you under arrest, you're guilty.
Amen. Right.
I'm arrested and I'm already guilty.
Right.
When did you have the trial? Oh, we had it yonder on Calvary. Yeah. You mean I'm under arrest and I'm guilty? That ain't all of it, son. Yeah. You bound for prison, boy. You condemned. Mr. Spirit, is there any way I can get out of this mess? Yes, sir. God giveth more grace. No! God giveth more grace. Grace to pardon. Grace to cleanse. Grace to relieve. Grace to save. I'm thank God, God gives more grace. Hallelujah to God. To the dying, the dead, the sick, the afflicted, the suffering. God giveth more grace. Ain't that right? Well, if He gives grace, now look here, He's already repented. The help she got, and I didn't have time to go into all of it, but when she got up and headed for the door, she repented. It already repented. Sirs, now God, what's going on? What do you understand? You're under conviction, you moron. That's something Baptists know very little about, is old-time Holy Ghost conviction. You under conviction. You mean to tell me I got to live this way all my life? No, there's relief, you see, from conviction. There's relief from the low. There's relief from the guilt, the burden. There's more grace to be had. Well, I get over this stuff. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Now, anybody here this morning wants to believe? Hallelujah to God. I'd like to see you scoot up under the altar. Amen. Up under the altar of grace. Bless your heart. Yeah. And trust Him today. And be a recipient of more grace in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. He gives more grace to sleeping sinners. I want to say He gives more grace to slumbering saints. Sweetheart, I've pulled off my coat. How shall I put it on? Sweetheart, I've washed my feet.
How shall I defile them?
Amen.
I bow. You ever read the book of Lamentations? Look here. Listen to me carefully. You know when Jeremiah looked at Jerusalem under the judgment of God and Nebuchadnezzar had overrun the city and the walls were torn down, the city burnt with fire. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, my bowels! Oh, my bowels within me! I weep! Mine eye weepeth! And he said, there's none to comfort. Are you listening to me? Son, when God awoke up that slumbering saint, it was because she experienced sorrow in her heart for her sin against her bridegroom. I'm telling you, friend, that when God gives more grace to slumbering saints and wakes up out of our sleep, son, we'll be sorry of Almighty God. Huh? You sorry for the way you... She was sorry for the way she had treated him. You ever done that? Sorry, sweetheart. I didn't mean to lock the door on you that night. I didn't mean to bite your head off. You know, I'd rather spend time with you than I would the pool down boys down at the pool room. Are you listening to me? She was sorry, friend, for the way she had treated him. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. He stands at our bedchamber. At the door of our bedchamber. At the door of our heart. Where he's been used to fellowshipping with us. And he stands there, my friend, with his hair and his locks due from the evening, from the night. As I said, that's the type of his suffering. He stands there in his suffering and anguish and beseeches us to open the door. Now I'm here to tell you that we've treated him shamefully. He suffered for us and gave his life upon the cross and died, my friend, and was spit upon and mocked and ridiculed and put to shame. He hanged on the cross naked. And we treat him like a dog. But when she saw that grace, my bowels were moved. Are you listening? Christ gives more grace to slumbering saints when they've lost the joy of their salvation. Anybody here lost your joy this morning? Psalm 16:11 talks about in His presence there's fullness of joy. Psalm 51:12, David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. John 15:11, Jesus said, I want my joy to remain in you and I want your joy to be full. Has anybody lost their joy? Huh? The smile. Some of you used to smile and the smile's gone. Some of you used to laugh and the laugh's gone. Some of you used to weep and the weeping's gone. Some of you used to ride and the riding's gone. Some of you used to shout and the shouting's gone. But I'm telling you, He gives more grace. He did to David. Oh, David had sinned one of the most grievous, horrible sins. Committed adultery and then murder in the process of trying to cover it up. And David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. God's mercy. God gave him more grace. And I'm telling you, sir, God gives grace to the saints of God. And they're backslidden and sinful condition. Bless His wonderful name. I could about run my head through a wall right now. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, how far down the drain can I go in sin? I wouldn't recommend going down the tube in sin. But I'm telling you, it don't matter how far down you are. His hand reaches further down, son. Well, then you can reach up this morning. God, I'm a feeling good. He gives more grace to slumbering saints when they're lost their joy. He gives more grace to slumbering saints when their affections are chilled. She just couldn't get up and get to Him. Her love was so cold. And it wasn't altogether cold because she slept, but her heart was awake. She might have been like the Laodicean church.
You're neither warm nor cold, and because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And I'm here to tell you, friend, God even give more grace to them. God said to that church, I stand at the door and knock. Lukewarm. Oh, how we need to come to a boiling point in our love. The church at Ephesus had left their first love, grown cold on God. Are you listening? He'll give more grace to slumbering saints when we follow Him afar off like Peter done. Oh, Peter sat around that fire and they said, surely you're one of them. He said, I don't know that man. A little bit later, well, surely you're one of him. I told you I don't know that man.
Amen.
How you fellas doing? Good fire you got here. Was it to crucify him? They're going to get ready to crucify Jesus of Nazareth tomorrow, huh? Well, I'll be on hand to watch it. You think Peter was just sitting there nonchalantly? What in the world go by? He was at the devil's fire, friend, warming his hand, and following Jesus afar off. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind to be down there and watch him when they scourge him. I like to hear him squeal. Surely you're one of them. You're a Galilean, man. Your speech bereath you. Bless God, I told you I don't know him. He giveth more grace. I'm telling you, when he give more grace, only it wasn't the hand of grace, it was the eyes of mercy that turned and looked upon Peter. And the Bible said when Peter saw the eyes of mercy, I'm telling you, somebody said, what was it, preacher, that was in those eyes? It was eyes of affection and love. Oh, even in his sin and his ungodliness, God yet loved old Peter of following him afar off. And I'm going to tell you, more grace got him. You ever been there, preacher? You ever been there? I mean, church member. Just don't read your Bible much. Don't pray. Don't get into the services none. Church is a drag. How about it, young person? Bored? Bored? I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm bored. I wish I'd have something for the young people. What do you want? Skating parties? Go somewhere else. Somebody said, I don't like that. I didn't ask you to like it. I'm not about to introduce our kids to worldly activities and that mess of junk. I won't charge you nothing for that. It's free. Well, why don't you have a ball team? Well, preacher, it wouldn't hurt to have a putt-putt team. I'm going to tell you about all of them in here. I know needs putt-putt. With about a 12-foot-long peach limb, bless God. I don't care to do some things with the kids, but I'm going to tell you there's godly things to do with them, folks. Church things to do with them. Somebody said, well, train them out in the way they ought to go. Train them up at the house of God.
Amen.
Somebody said, you're cruel and evil and mean. Call me what you want, but if you think I'm mean, buddy, you ain't never talked to Jesus.
Amen.
If you think He condones that mess.
That's right. Amen.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the park. Oh, buy me some popcorn and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if we never get back.
Amen.
Come on in the house, youngins. I won't charge you a thing for that.
Amen.
Now, son, here you are, 20 years old. You know better than to lay around them ballparks where they're sucking that beer and a-cussing and sucking on cigarettes. But, Daddy, did you not bring me up in the nurture and the admonition of the ballpark?
Amen. Amen.
I won't charge you nothing for that today. When our interests serve ourselves rather than Christ, here she is on her bed asleep, serving her own worldly interest rather than a servant of Christ. And there comes that hand through the door, giving more grace. Can you see His finger this morning? Has He touched your heart? Has that grace just... Listen now, she got right with God.
Amen.
She got right. She got up out of bed. He was gone. Somebody said, if that had been us today and he was gone, you know what we'd have done? If we come to church and he don't show up one Sunday, we just shut the door and say, well, he wasn't there. I'm going to tell you what we ought to do when we open the door and he ain't there. Pursue him. Look for him. Find him. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. But you know, the first time she went looking for him, you know the watchman of the city. You know what the watchman did? She hadn't departed from them very long until she found him. But read what happens in this passage. They treat her pretty bad. They pull off her veil. You know what that's a type of friend? He give her grace once, and the second time, and he give her more grace, and she still laid on that bed. And the next time, it wasn't the preacher that was patting them on the back and speaking to them kindly. It was chastisement.
Amen.
Come on now. God giveth more grace. He giveth grace to sleeping sinners. He giveth grace to slumbering saints. I'm just going to touch each one. I want to say He gives grace to the suffering.
Amen.
I read through old Jeremiah. And Jeremiah in the prison house, and God gave him grace. And Jeremiah down in the pit and sinking in the mire, and God gave him grace.
Amen.
I wrote my mother down here. I just simply wrote mother. I walked into my mama's house, 70-some years old. See her sitting there in that little old chair, and Daddy up in the nursing home. How you doing, Mama? I'm doing pretty good. I saw her lay on her deathbed. Died within 6 hours. And I said, Mama, how you doing? I'm doing all right. Smile. Grace for you. Were you suffering this morning? Physical suffering? Spiritual suffering? Give us more grace.
Amen.
And I'm closing with this. He giveth more grace to those that shun sin.
Amen.
A fellow named Joseph down in Potiphar's house. An old Potiphar's heifer laid hold on him and said, come and lie with me.
Yeah.
And as he fled the house, he grabbed his coat and jerked it off of him. And Joseph fled from her presence. Somebody said, you mean God give him more grace? He wound up in prison. Yeah, he did. Son, look at the end of the story.
Amen.
He wound up in a chariot, son.
Amen.
God. What a thought.
Amen.
Do you remember me preaching on this little old, on the chariot of His love?
Yes, sir.
And the floor of that chariot was paved with gold.
Yes.
And He was riding her from her house
yes.
to His house. There, Joseph, in that
Amen.
Same chariot.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, son. You shun sin and live for God. God will give you more grace. And there'll come a day when you and I will ride in that chariot.
Yes.
His canopy over us is love.
Amen.
And the bottom is paved with gold.
Amen.
No.
Yes.
No. His canopy over us is blue.
Amen.
And the floor is paved with gold.
Yeah.
And in the midst thereof is God's love.
Yeah.
His belly. Woo!
Yeah.
You women don't know what I'm talking about. You wasn't here in Sunday school.
Amen.
God giveth more grace. What do you need? What in your life do you need more grace about this morning? Huh? Pulled off my coat. How should I put it on? Please open. I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Can you see His hand inside her heart? That grace in there just looking for the right place. Move in front of your spirit, your soul. Somebody in here lost as He moves your soul. You that are saved as He moves in your soul. Let's stand together.